This is Michael Graham, and you're listening to Darb Radio on NationalReview.com, what Air America would be if it were funny and informative.
This is John Derbyshire with snippets of news from the last 3 or 4 weeks. Edward M. Kennedy, a politician from Massachusetts, found he was having trouble getting through airport security because a name similar to his appeared on the government's no-fly list of terror suspects. You've got to wonder, what name similar to Edward M. Kennedy is on the terrorist watch list? Ahmed Al-Qaeda Ni? My own guess is that the folk at Homeland Security, under pressure to add a little diversity to their watch lists, have been throwing in a few names of IRA men, Basque separatists, Red Brigades and the like. While I personally have no problem whatsoever with the notion of Gerry Adams getting a full cavity search on his next visit to these shores, I can't help wondering if it wouldn't be a better use of resources to concentrate on the guys with lots of Q's and apostrophes in their names. The 9/11 Commission published its report. The main recommendations were for more bureaucrats to be hired and for more of the nation's security costs and burdens to be dumped on private businesses. Of course, nobody could possibly object to any of that. Some of the Commission's other recommendations were more controversial. They came close to saying, they didn't actually say it, being politicians, but they came scarily close, that the federal government should enforce its own immigration laws, an idea that everyone knows to be scandalously racist. They also proposed that we build schools and libraries in Muslim countries so that Muslim youth would be better informed about us. This last proposal ignores a couple of facts. One, that the 9/11 hijackers all knew us very well indeed, having lived among us for some time. Two, that the experience of US correctional institutions has been that if you build a big library wing onto your local prison, you do not end up turning criminals into law-abiding citizens. You end up turning ignorant criminals into really well-informed criminals. John Edwards promised a West Virginia audience that a Kerry Edwards administration would reduce annual health care premiums by $1,000. Given what his pals in the Trial Lawyers Association have done to the cost of health and hospital care in this country, Edwards has a lot of nerve. He himself, for example, made it his life's work to rid the nation of obstetricians by suing them into extinction. Still, let's look on the bright side. If Edwards gets to be vice president, that'll be one less trial lawyer in Congress. Best-selling non-fiction book on both the New York Times and Washington Post book lists was Unfit for Command by Swift Boat veteran John O'Neill, who claims that John Kerry is a big phony. Kerry, meanwhile, was tugging our heartstrings with a story about being deep in Cambodia on Christmas Day 1968, taking fire from the Khmer Rouge and listening incredulous to President Nixon on the radio saying that the US was not in Cambodia. Turns out there are all sorts of things wrong with this story, not the least of them being that Richard Nixon was not actually president at Christmas 1968. Whatever you may think of John Kerry, though, the Vietnamese Communist Party loves the guy. They have a Museum of the Revolution in Saigon. There, in between pictures of Fidel Castro, Yasser Arafat, Uncle Ho and Mao Tse-tung, is our John Boy. I'm not going to pass judgment on whether or not Kerry deserved his 3 Purple Hearts and Bronze Star, but it seems to me to be a crying injustice that he didn't get an Order of Lenin. Al Gore got a speeding ticket while driving a rented car on a visit to relatives in Oregon. He was doing 75 in a 55 zone. The trooper who stopped Gore said that he was polite throughout the encounter. except that he kept, you know, sighing real loud, shaking his head and rolling his eyes. The uncredentialed, bogus cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr, continued to control the sacred shrine of Imam Ali in the holy city of Najaf, with the aid of his gangs of Kalashnikov-wielding teenage thugs. The thing that baffles me is, why aren't the world's 100 million or so Shiites mad as hell about this? It's their holy city and their sacred shrine. I know how I'd feel as an Anglican Christian if some gang of Cockney skinheads took over Canterbury Cathedral under the leadership of some 30-year-old guy who flunked divinity school. Why aren't the Shiites of the world marching on Najaf to save their shrine from these desecrators? Sure, they might get killed, but these people are supposed to embrace martyrdom, aren't they? Wouldn't it be a grand martyrdom to die saving your sacred shrine from desecration? So why aren't they marching? But the answer, of course, poking your finger in the infidel's eye trumps any amount of desecration. The Shiites of the world are sitting back chuckling with glee at the sight of Muki making a monkey out of Uncle Sam. The fact that his skinhead army is using the sacred precincts as a urinal is, comparatively speaking, of no consequence. In the current issue of the magazine GQ, John Kerry offers advice to the men of America in choosing a mate. Quote, "Look for what gets your heart. Someone who excites you, turns you on. It's a woman who loves being a woman, who wears her womanhood, who knows how to flirt and have fun. Smart, confident, and obviously sexy and saucy and challenging." End quote. Yeah, but that's not what we want you to tell us, John. Let's cut to the chase here. How do you snaffle those super rich broads? Hong Kong police arrested 115 men for illegally gambling on insect fights. Police seized about 300 crickets and $1,025 in cash during the bust, said police spokesman T.K. Ng. That's a quote from a newspaper report. I can't wait till this glamorous new style of gambling makes it to Vegas. Not that we really need insect fighting here in the U.S. Not while Congress is in session anyway. The Summer Olympics opened in Athens. Swimmers swam, runners ran, jumpers jumped, and throwers threw. And then there was beach volleyball, well nigh the only event where there was not an empty seat to be seen in the spectator area. It would be patronizing, demeaning, and outrageously sexist to suggest that the popularity of this event has anything to do with the 15 bikini-clad cheerleaders who race onto the sand and shake their booties in between matches and during timeouts. I therefore will not suggest it. George W. Bush proposed to withdraw large numbers of US troops from, among other places, Germany, where they are stationed to defend a nation that dislikes us against an enemy nation that no longer exists. Two different Kerry spokesmen, Wes Clark and Richard Holbrooke, hearing of this plan, both declare that it would, quote, "weaken America's national security" and "anger European allies." Ah, yes, those dear European allies. Mustn't anger them, must we? I understand, of course, that in a presidential campaign, anything one candidate proposes must be denounced by the other, on some grounds or other, but this seems to be a real stretch, even for the Kerry people.